Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Tonight, we welcome you to another rendition or episode of Elevated Places, a project, a program that was developed, conceived, and developed by our dear sister, Minister Ava Muhammad. And we have a program for you tonight, and we want you to, we encourage you to go and to www.ministerava.com to study the works that she produced. And these works are to make you into a new being. We may get more into this later. So to read her writings, listen to her tapes, is not just for entertainment or reflecting on what a very beautiful and strong woman said and taught, but it's for your edification and for your development. And tonight we're going to have a guest who has been developed within the Nation of Islam and got training otherwise in terms of her specific talent. And she's going to bring to us very important information about what is going on right now with this whole pandemic. But first of all, we would like to bring to the forefront our sister, national, finally called national correspondent, Sister Charlene Muhammad, who will give you a roundup, a wrap-up of what's going on in the news. And then after her, we'll get back to talk to our special guest and introduce her to you. Sister Charlene, you there?
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam.
This is, of course, not the voice of our sister Charlene, national correspondent for the Final Call newspaper. This is your sister Donna. She is unable to join us as of yet.
Okay.
She may be able to join us at the top of the hour. So I will just say this on her behalf. Read the Final Call newspaper, and if you look at the front cover, you will see our brother Tyree Nichols, who was brutally beaten by five of our own black police officers. Just 2 weeks ago in Memphis, Tennessee, we had his funeral. His funeral was held on yesterday. The Nation of Islam had a large delegation there. So we encourage you to go to the Final Call newspaper to stay informed and to keep updated and absolutely read the depopulation, the special COVID section, the U.S. policy of depopulation, and get into those COVID brief. And with that, I return it back to you, Dr. Ridgely. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaykum salam. Thank you so much, and we hope to hear from our sister Charlene. We are very busy people, and you know, one thing about it, you don't ask people who ain't doing nothing to do something. But when you ask people who do something, who are doing things, you wind up having conflicts with the things they're doing. And we all try to fit it in. Minister Ava was one of those type of beings who I don't understand how she is in so many places at one time and doing things so perfectly. But she had a lot that she produced. And when you study her works, you will learn more about the mindset that produced her and gets her to do all this work. I'll say this before we bring our sister on. You know, in the Bible, you talk about the God who created the heavens and the earth. But in the Holy Quran, we bear witness that there's any doubt concerning Allah, the originator of the heavens and the earth. That's Quran 14, chapter 10th verse. But then in the 16th chapter, 17th verse, it states, quote, "Is then he who creates like he who does not create? Do you not reflect?" Well, our God, Allah, is he who creates. It is present tense. He created, and he still continues that creation many times through us. So we must find our place in the God and our Father and become creative beings. But you got to know something. You got to have a knowledge of something, of reality, to be able to create an improvement to that reality. You just can't do a whoop, zoop, doobaloop like they do in the movies and zip, bam, doobalam, and there it is. Do you know what you're doing? You could be bringing a mess in. And this is what this world has done, in particular with these COVID vaccines. They've created a mess. Not anything to help, but a mess. And tonight, we're going to have a sister who's well-versed in that, who's right in the middle of it, our sister, registered nurse. And she's here to give a bedside report of COVID-19. Sister Tamara Muhammad is a generational registered believer in the Nation of Islam. That means that she's from parents who are in the Nation of Islam, and has been a traveling critical care registered nurse for over 7 years. Many of the believing families may have met her within the last 5 years because she had traveled to New York, Baltimore, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, California, and Little Rock, Arkansas. Tamara has a bachelor's in the science of nursing from the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. She has just recently received her master's as a certified nurse midwife and women's health nurse practitioner, and is now studying and waiting to take her board all while in a bridge program at Frontier Nursing University to complete a doctorate in women's health. Wait a minute. She's working on a certified nurse midwife certificate, and she's working on a PhD all at the same time. Wow. Inshallah, she will be officially Dr. T. Muhammad and DNP in the summer of 2023. However, as you know, we have many frontline workers. Sister Tamara is here to give us an eyewitness bedside report with COVID-19. So with that introduction, so who's been here before and lit it up when she was here before on Elevated Places, our sister Tamara Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Brother Wrigley, as-salamu alaykum, yeah. Sister Donna.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
It's an honor and a... Yes, ma'am. It's an honor and privilege to be here, Dr. Wrigley. We have never met before. The last time I was on the program, our beloved sister was here with us. And I believe you had called in, Dr. Wrigley.
Yes.
Yes,
yes, ma'am.
It's definitely an honor and a privilege. Thank you so much. I do feel like in all sincerity that our sister is still here with us. This is
mm-hmm.
her presence, you know, and her work.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking at her article on the COVID-19 PCR test, the companion weapon to the vaccine in the era of biological warfare against the original people, a much-studied article. But let me first say, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. Offer that salutation because this has been a huge topic, and it has a lot of misleading information and inaccurate information, and, you know, we've been lied to a lot in the last 3 years. Right?
That's right.
So we definitely need all the guidance we need as we're instructed as followers of the Honorable Minister Farrakhan to come forward in front of our people and make sure that we are telling the truth. That was our instruction, correct?
That's right. That's right.
So I'm praying for that all help, and I'm so thankful to Allah that so much has come to pass. So much that that we've been instructed, you know, by our teacher, the Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan, as he instructed us to not take the vaccine, as he did, you know, in 2020. you know, in the criterion. So,
right.
And I can say, I'll start off with this. I can definitely say that being on the front line, going through school, working, I know, and this is a story I haven't told yet. I was faced with a lot of resistance because I'm unvaccinated, but it did stop me. They threw out a lot of lies. You know, I remember being in school, my last two semesters of school, my university had took a lot of money, and that's what happened with a lot of the organizations. They were given a lot of money to promote the vaccine. We got a whole new campus, you know, state-of-the-art campus over COVID-19. And so it was a big push for all the mandates. You know, they had said that if you're going to be on campus, you had to have a test weekly, you had to wear your mask. And then definitely once the vaccines came out, you had to be vaccinated in the booster. And I did end up taking a hiatus one semester because I was not allowed on campus or in clinical whatsoever, but it didn't stop me. We have a religious exemption form. When I tell all the believers and everyone out there, as power in those very simple words on that letterhead with our flag on it, a lot of power. And so I submitted that, and the school ended up accommodating me by giving me a virtual class along with five other people. So look how small that was. And my school had no exemptions. Like, they wasn't taking nothing because, like I said, they had a whole state-of-the-art campus. So they got to make good on the money that they received by having a very – and they posted it, like, daily on their website. You know, they'll say things like 75% of the employees, you know, faculty and students here are vaccinated, and their goal was to get it almost to 100%. And this was the promotion that they put up on the webpage, like updated weekly. So you know, you already knew the agenda. But all praise be to Allah, I got through that. They accepted my exemption, never asked me any questions whatsoever. So we need to really, yes, in this time, walk boldly in our Islam. No questions asked.
I want you to get back on that, but you said something that sparked something in me. I want to bring out to the audience about the importance of what you just said, and also we want to let our audience know that get in the queue, and in about a half an hour. So we're going to open up the lines for your questions and comments, because this is a back and forth show. This is not a lecture. This is a discussion between people. Now, when you mentioned about the money that was brought into your college, your training for nursing, and this money was those from companies pushing the vaccine, and therefore they was pushing that everybody had to take these vaccines if they want to continue their degree. Just a few days ago, the president of Howard University proudly announced that they had just received a grant of $90 million from the Department of Defense, PhD, from undergraduate scholarship money, always with a PhD, into what I don't know. But I do know that the Department of Defense has been the one who actually designed and produced these messenger RNA so-called vaccines. So we don't know what they're going to have our babies doing at Howard, and not just Howard, but all over the country, like at Tuskegee, my alma mater, North Carolina A&T State University. They get all this research money from these companies who are pushing a new agenda of genetic modification on the population. So what Sister Tamara is pointing out is not just an isolated circumstance, and we must be careful with our children fall into a position where they have to do something against their own health and produce something that may be against the health of the rest of us. So thank you, Sister Tamara, but please go ahead on with your story.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Just with that, I just want to say they say a lot of things. They'll say you more likely, I've been told all of them, you more likely won't get a clinical site if you're not vaccinated. I was told that. That's not true. Just keep pushing forward. That's not true. Yes, I had to travel about 300 miles away from home to a clinical site. But, you know, trials, you know, is our day, you know, and, you know, what you're trying to achieve comes with a major sacrifice, you know, so, and you accomplish that. So, I ended up going all the way to Texas for a clinical site, and because no one locally who obviously has also taken the funding would not accept me as unvaccinated. But don't take that as no one's out there that's not going to do it. There's other avenues, no matter what your institutions say. And we must remember now the CDC has come forward, and a lot of healthcare providers who were supporting the vaccine are no longer supporting the vaccine. And a lot, and the CDC has come out and have said.
Could you slow that down and say that slowly, please? I want you to hear what you just said. Slow that down and say that. They need to hear that. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. So the CDC has come out and recanted and said that the vaccine does not stop transmission and it does not prevent you from getting COVID. The CDC has said that. So a lot of mandates are coming down. Like now my school felt personally offended because it's a private school. They felt offended. And in their offense, they have even brought down the mask. There are no mandates at all at my school. Wide open. Like you don't have to be vaccinated. You have nothing, all because the CDC made that comment. So a lot of organizations, I guess if they're willing to lose their funding or pay the money back, are standing out boldly and saying like, yeah, they feel tricked, you know. That's the energy. And then also as a healthcare provider, we had several institutions. As a nurse, especially as a travel nurse, yes, I was denied a couple assignments. Yes, bluntly. Yes, like, no, she's not vaccinated, she can't come here. It didn't stop me from doing what I'm doing and providing for my family. I still kept going and provided my exemption. And I got accepted. And 9 out of 10, it was better paid than what they was going to pay me anyway. So, but even those institutions, so you have a lot of angry healthcare providers right now who got vaccinated, and they're mad, super mad. They want retribution. You know, why'd you have me do this? You know, and so you even have healthcare providers coming back saying, "Hey, look, I went ahead and took 6 months off or a year off and took that money out of my savings because I didn't want to be vaccinated. Now I'm gonna need you to repay me that." You know.
That's right.
It's a lot of dialogue going on right now in the hospitals about all of that. But now I don't have no problem at all getting any assignment. So and I I'm gonna speak to that too as still there on the at the bedside. I'm gonna speak to that as well. So with the climate that's going on, you would assume or think that COVID is no longer here. Let me show you the difference. In the era of when get the vaccine, the numbers were hugely inflated as far as COVID. COVID is very much so alive. We have so many people sick today. COVID, RSV, flu, you name it. Not only do we have all of these viruses going on in the hospital today, we also have to deal with vaccine injury, which is bizarre. We don't know what that is. From the vaccine. And I remember, I believe I reported this to Sister Charlene way back when the vaccines had first came out. And I know other believers have heard me say this many, many times before. And I'm so happy that it's coming out now. But I used to say all the time, the only thing that we used to see at the bedside was three diagnoses for sudden death. And that was either a person had a stroke or they had a PE, which is a pulmonary emboli, which is a blood clot in your lungs that traveled up that gave you the stroke, you know, or gave you the heart attack or MI. So the third diagnosis would be a heart attack based in plain language. Those are still the number one diagnosis, three diagnoses that we see for sudden death. And just to be honest, the only correlation is the vaccine. The only common denominator is the vaccine, because these are not folks that are 80 years old. These are 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, and with no other health, you know, issues most times. But why they go through sudden death? And right now that's, you know, and we're starting to see that. So when I said that a year ago, I was looked at as crazy. But that's exactly what we were seeing at the bedside. Like, that's exactly, like, we were seeing, we were, in my whole career, it happened in front of me. Sudden death happened right in front of me. We thought it was a syncope episode. No, it was sudden death. Yeah. And so now it's no longer a phenomenon. This is just expected.
So in other words, until recently, very few people in the medical field have seen sudden death amongst people so young. But now you and others have seen it, and the only common denominator from the past and now is the vaccine. Yet they still are pushing these vaccines, even though they're pushing it on one. I don't understand it. The CDC admits it don't work. Now, is the CDC saying don't take it?
No, they didn't. They still encourage us to take it. But I would say the healthcare world is disgruntled, disappointed, feel like they have, some of them feel like they have been tricked who went along with it, who actually believed in it. But for the most part, your healthcare providers are still the most largest unvaccinated population. Like, this is not a conversation that I have to, like, you know, there's more unvaccinated than it is vaccinated, you know, and that's, I actually believe because of the knowledge base, you know, it's just the common sense of others would have been like, you didn't produce no vaccine in no year, you know. So that, I think that was the part. And then the other part, we survived COVID and they didn't care nothing about us. They didn't give us proper PPEs. They didn't try to send us more help. They didn't pay us more. It wasn't until they was pushing a vaccine where they wanted to pay us thousands and thousands of dollars a week, you know, to come and deal with COVID patients. And then, you know, if you notice, we were the hero during the time of COVID. And we became a zero the moment most of your healthcare providers were saying, we're not getting that vaccine. So then now they had to smear us in public and say that we were irresponsible and we don't care about our patients and we deserve to be fired and all of that propaganda as well. But that's the part is because if they could have gotten even nurses to follow the program, there'd probably be more people vaccinated. But it's hard to promote something when your largest population of unvaccinated people are your healthcare providers, especially your nurses.
We're living through crazy right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're living through crazy. Here we have the people in the medical profession, the healthcare providers, who's right there working with the patients who some have COVID, some have died. They've caught COVID, the virus, and they lived through it. And, and now they're being beat up on because they wouldn't take something that now they're admitting that didn't work in the first place. Those who say that the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan are conspiracy theorists because he warned us July 4th, 2020, do not take this shot. It is death itself. And yet here it is. We've lived through another 2 years since the minister, 3 years now almost, since the minister warned the world. And now even the CDC is admitting that they lied, basically. But ain't nobody trying to give credit to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his God, who warned the world don't take it even before they made it and brought it out to the world. So thank you, sister, for being there and take us through some more of this information, sister, about what you've experienced and so forth. This is really, really interesting stuff. And remember, in a few more minutes, y'all be able to ask Sister Tamara questions. So thank you very much, Sister Tamara.
Yes, sir. And I also wanted to just offer this. This is devastating news. You know, it's even real scary to watch. And so, yes, we were definitely warned by Allah's mouthpiece, the Honorable Muslim Sarah Khan, and follow those instructions. But he also gave us a prayer for anyone who has taken the vaccine. So I encourage everybody, for our family members, for our loved ones, for our friends, you know, say that prayer, because the agenda is the agenda. And I'm telling you the absolute truth when I tell you that it is not a phenomenon anymore where folks are having sudden death, you know, or you, I'm quite sure a lot of folks can tell you now that I talked with my loved one yesterday and they were fine. They got back from the grocery store and collapsed in the middle of the living room today, you know. And once again, we're speaking again. And I know a year ago when that was said, it was like, oh, that's crazy. That's because it was a phenomenon. It's not anymore. So it's, you know, very important. Let's make sure that we activate that prayer, you know, for our loved ones.
And that prayer,
for our
That prayer was in the Swan Song.
Yes, sir.
Last February 2022. Swan Song, that prayer was at the end of that lecture, and you can put that into a Google search and find it, because it's also in the Final Call newspaper. I don't know exactly which edition it was in. Maybe sister, somebody can find it for us. But he gave us that prayer, and to me, when I heard it, I was there. I said, man, you talking about mercy. You see, Minister Farrakhan, you know, he's taking a vow of pressure of the heart of the people, and showing the mercy from our God, that even though you made the mistake and you did not listen, we don't accuse you. We accuse those who trick you, and we're giving you a way out of the trick. I said, wow, this is for those who don't believe this man is Jesus. You just think about what I just said and go and read that prayer, how he's given us, even the ones who disobeyed, a way out. And this is Allah seeing that mercy through our brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But go ahead, sister.
So, yes, sir. The other part I wanted to say about COVID is I'm so happy the hysterica is over as far as all the fear. You know, where, of course, we still have some folks who still think if they sneeze, they have COVID. I still just want to reiterate, as someone who has watched it with my own eyes, I didn't talk to you on telehealth. I'm in the room with you. And still yet, the most identifying factor to if you have COVID is the fact that it exacerbated your underlying symptoms. COVID and the flu, RSV, all of that looks the same. You can have loss in taste or smell with the flu. You can have it with the common cold. So all those symptoms look very much the same. And I will say it again, COVID is not a chump, though. The flu is a chump. The common cold is a chump. COVID is not a chump. COVID, if you did not know you had diabetes, you're going to know now. Because that's COVID. And what I mean by that is you're going to have a blood sugar that we can't get down until the virus passes your system. You know, so I have an underlying condition. I didn't even know I had COVID until my underlying condition was exacerbated. I believe I've had the flu before, maybe many years ago, the cold many, many, many years ago, but I wasn't having heart problems. And I don't, you know, I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have any other ailments. This is what we see. This is what we see. So if someone had sickle cell, There ain't much we can do with that. We couldn't do nothing before with it. But now sickle cell is really, really, you know, because you have COVID. So now we have to wait till we have to try to keep you stable, throw what we can throw at you until the virus passes your system. And that's what I still hear folks still in that fear mode. I believe I got COVID. The whole family got COVID. And I'm going to say it. Sister Ava said it. It's a fraudulent test. The Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan said, a scholarship from hell cannot solve a pestilence from heaven.
Mm.
So he doesn't have a measurement tool for COVID that doesn't have an agenda that is set up with what he desires to do. So, and I'll say this, we've seen an increase in cancer. And what I mean by increase in cancer, I mean, like, you hear things at the bedside, like from a family member now would say, they had a full complete CT scan last year. What do you mean they in third stage colon cancer this year? So you went from being just fine last year and you in fourth terminal third stage cancer. Now, that's no longer a phenomenon. We hear that like a lot now. Like, I got a checkup last year or 2 years ago and I was fine. When did this thing grow? So, and I'll just say this too. This, as we are taught, this sick, sinful, fallen world is going out. With it going out, we are feeling all kinds of stuff. We got stress beyond stress. We have anxiety beyond anxiety. We're going through a lot. Our health is going through a lot. Everything is going through a lot. This is truly a time, and this is for me, family, because I'm also speaking to myself right now. This is a time to put on the whole armor.
Mm.
This is definitely a time for obedience and the whole armor. It's just that trying. It's just that stressful.
So the teachings now, in particular, our prayer and our fasting and the how to eat to live, which came from God through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to us, we must put that, and by the way, y'all, this is Thursday, the first Thursday in the month, in February, and the last meal was tonight. We don't eat again, okay, family? 3 day fast. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that one meal a day would keep the doctor away, but the 3 day fast would cleanse out that the toxins that still got through. And so you can get it out of you if you obey. Now, sister, you're going and becoming a midwife. Have you noticed, we've read articles talking about stillbirths, them not being able to get pregnant. So have you seen any of those things in your work dealing with the reproductive system, in particular of the women?
When it comes to COVID, and this is really this dialogue between me and a few other nurses, honestly, as I was just talking, I'll just share this with you. We did notice being around the vaccinated, there was disruption in our cycle. So you normally work 3 to 4 12-hour shifts, and then you get a nice break. And then, you know, if you're on a 13-week assignment, you can take 6 months off, 3 months off in between those assignments. Mm. And what we noticed was when we were away for a long period of time, we weren't feeling so horrible. You know, and I just bear witness to myself, and I used to share this with my mother all the time. Like, used to say I have to take more breaks. That's what I used to say, I got to take more breaks. And so, yes, we did recognize definitely a disruption in our cycle. For those who are regular and know they're regular, there was definitely a disruption or just feeling this malaise, you know, just really tired, you know, fatigue or just not feeling like yourself sometimes, cloudy mind, you know, it just wasn't there when you took your breaks. But far as the part of me being a midwife, the vaccine wasn't pushed so heavily on pregnant women. It wasn't a protocol. It's another vaccine that's pushed on pregnant women around 27 weeks. You know, they ask everybody to get the Tdap shot or percussions, the whooping cough shot, and get it with every pregnancy. I can honestly tell you that's only because it pays at 100%. That's just meeting one of the markers. That's just it. Yeah, that's just meeting one of the criteria for reimbursement and pay. And, you know, I'd be the first. It's not something I'm going to offer, you know, in my own practice. No, I don't support it at all. I don't see a purpose for it whatsoever. Like, babies don't die from the whooping cough. You know, if they even get it, like, what's your evidence? And what, you know, and typically that mandate, what I saw was really around the, you know, subsidized health care, you know, like if you're on Medicaid, Medicare, you know, something like that. That was one of their criteria. Make sure, you know, they get this vaccine, you know. But when it comes to midwifery, and especially us as Black women and how we have babies, we need a whole nother construct. You know, that's a whole nother conversation on what I saw in that. Yeah, we need a whole new construct when it comes to that. We're doing a lot of things that, and I encourage everybody out there to go get our sister book, How to Give Birth to a God. I read that whole book, and the stuff that she has in there about medical stuff is right and exact. And what she has in that book, I totally agree as far as, why are you giving your baby the vitamin K shot? And why are you vaccinating your baby who is just hours old in the world? You know, and why are you allowing that greasy stuff to go in your baby's eyes? That's an antibiotic called erythromycin. And the only reason why that mandate was there, it came from the slums and ghettos of 1940 and 50s when white women had gonorrhea. So that is a mandate that still exists that everybody get it. So if you don't attest to it, they're going to give it to your baby. If you didn't sign nothing, your baby going to get it. You know, so now your baby has antibiotics in his eyes, you know, not even an hour old. So there's things like that. And we have to remember that a lot of those things are just reimbursed and paid 100% by insurance. You know? Yeah, I mean, so the list goes on and on. And get myself in trouble again. But yeah, let's go on. We need a whole new construct when it comes to having babies as far as Black women and indigenous people all together. The one thing we have to first realize is that all those interventions are not made for us. And we got to stop.
Say that again?
All these interventions are not made for us.
Okay. I want to come in here with a little bit of history. Okay?
Yes, sir.
To bear witness to what you said. You know, I know in one of the articles in the final call, I mentioned about this doctor who in 1896 told Prudential that based on his analysis that Blacks were dying faster than whites in 1896. And if they deprived us of health care, that we would two generations. However, by 1910, we had almost 10 million people, which is almost twice what we had when we came out of slavery. So what did we do? Okay, we didn't. They wouldn't let us in the hospitals. Doctors wouldn't take care of us. They wouldn't give us no medicine. So what did we do in that time period for ourselves to survive being thrown out in the woods to take care of ourselves without the blanket of protection from white folks? We had 8 medical schools by 1910. By 1923, we had 200 hospitals. So we figured out a way to take care of ourselves. Now we really need to study what those people did, those doctors did then, to put us in a healthier state than the white people, even though we were in a less healthy state when we came up out of slavery. But we got better based on our own, not on them. So now we need people like you and others to really do some research on the proper way to give birth, the proper way to raise a child, the proper way to inoculate a child. And of course, I'm not a woman, but I've read, and they said that that inoculation that you get from your mother's breast is the best in the world. And that's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us. So could you talk to that, sister, in terms of the power of the woman to inoculate her children against what they may run into in the world?
Yes. Yeah, so the immediate thing is when you're in these school systems and your children want to play sports or they go on to college and they're asking for your child to be vaccinated with all this stuff, even the so-called varicella, which is chickenpox. When I was growing up, we had chickenpox parties. And your neighbor had the chickenpox. Well, mama take you over to the house, you get chickenpox. You have it for a week or so, and you're fine. Now they have a vaccine for you. So the first thing I would say is exactly what I did for my children to avoid vaccinations. I believe in getting titer. That's where they will test your child's immunity. It's a blood test. It's a blood draw. They draw the blood, and they test the blood to see if your child is immune to rubella, immune to chickenpox, immune to measles, mumps, rubella, and polio. And the Amish community do this all the time. Other small independent communities do this all the time as well. Their children are not vaccinated, but they go get titered when they want to participate with the broader world and things outside of their community. And what is big research on the fact is why all these children are immune who have never been vaccinated.
Right. Right. That's what the question I was going to ask.
Right. So why are they all immune? You know, part of that is going back to that breast milk. I got the chickenpox when I was little. None of my children ever got the chickenpox, but they are highly immune to chickenpox because I nursed them. They got the immunity through my breast milk. So even if you're a sick mother, you're ill, or you're fighting something, or if you even have a disease, your breast milk is still the best thing for your child. It is formulated for your child, that child right there in the womb is formulated, is the perfect formula for the child that you just had. So, yes, the breast, and you know, I praise Allah, I'm so happy you brought this up. That is, inshallah, you know, you'll hear more from me in my own individual community. I would love to make that if I don't do anything else within my practice, I would love to have a practice where all my moms are nursing and know the benefit of nursing. I have a 24-year-old son who I could not, he was on campus, he was all of that. He was doing, living his life, still lives his life. However, he hang out, he go to parties, he do it all. And in the time of COVID, I couldn't even get him to wear a mask. And he could tell me, I'm good. He was not sick at all. He never got sick. He was also, I nursed him since he was almost 3 years old. I've never even seen him have a common cold. You know, in the time of COVID, he used to say things like, my saliva is the cure to cancer, you know.
Black man.
Yes, and he doesn't eat the best. You know, he's not at home. He's a college student. He's doing what college students do in the world. So he was doing all of that in COVID in the world, and he was not sick at all. Like, I understand his confidence. You know, and I like to hold myself up and say, well, look what Allah did, but, you know, we definitely did it. You know, that's how beautiful that nursing is.
Wow.
And your nursing, yes, sir, your nursing also combats all the other things that we do with our children that are not what we're supposed to do, you know, like, We talk about mental health is on the rise. We know everything is correlated just about to environment, you know, your food and things like that. But I also want to go back to the real quick a lot of us going to the hospital today, I noticed, we want every intervention that's there for us. Every intervention. We want the epidural. I've seen the worst. You know, we have to look at the numbers, family. We have to say black women have the worst infant mortality rate and maternal rate, okay? So our moms and babies are still dying or not even having good outcomes. We have to look at those numbers. And we have to say, obviously, the construct of today is not working. So we got to use a little common sense and say, if this is not working, what are you doing wrong? And like what you said, Dr. Wrigley, dear brother, why is it when we wasn't with them, we did better?
Come on.
So in the time of history, I mean the time of slavery, black women, babies weren't dying unless we killed them ourselves because we didn't want them to carry the burden of being a slave. But our babies didn't die. And we didn't die either in the time of slavery. For one, our midwives on the plantation delivered those babies. And the only reason why the so-called, I hate saying that word, master, but the only reason why that devil was in the room is because he wanted to make sure his property wasn't murdered by the black women. But that baby was going to be delivered, and that mother was going to live. Black women had 25, 15, 18 babies in the time of slavery. And even afterwards, my grandmother had 12 children.
Come on.
So what are we doing wrong today? You go on the hospital, and I'm just going to say it, you have babies like white women. You're not made up like them. You don't need all that. When I see moms come in, when I see black women come in and they got there, they call, they got there late because they can't get their epidural because they get ready to deliver basically. They mad, but they push that baby out and everything is fine. I mean, fine. I mean, I'm looking like, see? Look at God. Look at you, you know? But you come in here, you want that epidural and you want to know why your child almost died after delivery because you joked it up. You want to know why you couldn't push and you all tore up because you couldn't feel your push. You couldn't feel the natural response of pushing, you know.
Wow.
You want to know why your baby couldn't figure out how to get through the pelvis. So you got to work together as a team. Why your baby couldn't figure out the puzzle on how to get through that bony pelvis because it's doped up. Now you got to go for emergency C-section. So the history is already there. The research is already there that says that epidurals delay your birth. It delays it. It makes your laboring longer. You know, who wants to labor longer? You know?
Wow.
But, you know, we run around all day and talk about how strong and powerful the black woman is. It's true. But we need to have that same energy when it's time for us to have our babies and not be trying to, like, say all of this is, I need all of this. That's not working for us. I've seen way better outcomes without all those interventions. They're devastating for us.
Well, I don't know about y'all out there. I ain't trying to have a baby. I'm a man. I'm glad I got to go through that. But if I was a woman, I would definitely listen to what this sister has to say because that sounds like a big difference between going through all that pain and having a process that goes through quicker. And the idea that you said is your body must feel its way to what to do, but when you are doped up, you can't feel, so therefore you can't do. Wow, that's blowing my little mind, my little seven and a half hours brain being blown by that. Thank you so much. And I'm understanding that we do. I want you to hold your thoughts, Sister Tamara. Make a little note to yourself so you can come back and carry us on this journey. But we do have some people who called in, and we want to give them a chance. But we want to get all the callers in. We first want to have Brother Darryl. So is it okay with you, Sister Tamara, to bring in a guest, a question?
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir.
Walaikum salam. Yes, sir.
Happy Savior's Day, beloved. How you doing, Sister Tamara? May Allah continue to bless you. And the midwife, I could bear witness, all of my children was born by a midwife. And praise be to Allah that we had one, except for the last one my former wife had in the hospital. And going contrary to what you know you should have done, now that child is with autism. He's not talking. And it comes from those shots that they gave him, you know. And sometimes, you know, as believers, we know, and then sometimes we get scared. But when you trust in Allah, you can't go wrong. Pray and thank Allah for you being a midwife. And I experienced seeing my children born, and the breast milk is the best milk for our children. And you had me cracking up when you said your son said his saliva could be the cure for AIDS, I mean, for cancer. It may be true. You never know. But we are some powerful people once we come into the knowledge of self. And those that took the shot, now here go the enemy. He already said the flag should have went up then when you said you couldn't sue. But those that did take it, like my sister, she worked at Chrysler, and she told her best friend, she begged her. The minister said for us not to take the shot. She said, my whole family had it. We took the Ivan Max up. I had COVID twice. I was sick. But we have a treatment. She took the shot, and now she's in a wheelchair. And those that didn't die immediately, now the government is speaking about now it's more worse than now because these people need Social Security now. You take the money from the government that he really don't have for us, but now these people are sick and ill because they took that shot. So I pray and thank Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Louis Farrakhan that those that listened did and did that special prayer that he told us to do. I have asked and prayed for my daughter because she was born on Master Farah Muhammad's birthday. That was my Savior's Day gift back in 1974. Mm. And she know the teachings, but she never would really come in the nation. But then she gave it, had my grandbabies to take her. So I'm praying, Nathan Lala, to protect them as well as her. But, yes, this shot is definitely dangerous. And midwife, and I pray Allah there to be many, many more. May Allah continue to bless you in your journey of medicine and continue to keep up the good work with the midwife. May Allah continue to bless you. And I thank Allah for Sister Ava Show and those that's coming on to keep her spirit going. May Allah continue to bless Brother Darius and his family. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Thank you, Brother Daryl, for your comment. As-salamu alaykum to you and happy Savior's Day. And may Allah bless your family, bless our family for sure. And I'm very happy you brought up autism and the whole spectrum thing. We see a huge rise in that. And yes, our babies, when you get that epidural or any type of sedation and you need all these interventions, those babies simply don't have a good Apgar score, and that's how we evaluate your baby respiration, color, and all of that when your baby come out. So that baby needs more. But basically, you don't hear a roar and cry. And I'm not just saying this because I love my people. Not at all, but that old myth, I thought going to midwifery, that you had to slap every baby on the bottom. Family, that's so not true. Our babies come in this world roaring. There's actually a saying among your nurses, you know, and any nurse out there, please call in, verify what I'm saying. This is common knowledge. You know how you say speak the language of the people. You know, truck drivers got a language. Pilots got a language. Nurses got a language too. And then the nursing language of profession in the midwifery, they call white boys wimpy white boys. Those are ones that got to be slapped on the butt. If there is a mom who did not have prenatal care, you know, negligent with her body, maybe was on some type of substance abuse, and in the language of the nursing world, if we knew the sex of the baby was going to be a girl, they won't even bring in the extra, we call NRP help to resuscitate that baby. It's a black girl. They know it's going to survive. 9 out of 10, she's going to survive. No matter what the mama put her through. That's the language of nursing. the language of nursing. So I just want to really empower us, you know, listen to your body, listen to yourself, be your best advocate, and know that when we go into the hospital, we get emotional, and we're looking at people, and we're saying, you know, oh, man, all these people white, they ain't here to help me. Or the black folks can't help you either in that construct. But we have to realize it's the whole construct that ain't right. That's not for you. That's contrary to your being, you know. So it's good that we start with, let me get me a black provider. That's excellent, you know. Preferably, and I say this to the believers, Islam is excellent. We got to get out here and stop saying stuff like, Dr. Elijah Muhammad wouldn't pay one penny for the white man's education. Put that in perspective.
Come on.
Put that in perspective. You know, everybody on the minister team got a degree. Sister Dr. Ames is a doctor. Ella got degrees. Islam is excellence. We have to find more avenues with the mindset of Master Fad Muhammad to help our people. We got to go where they are. We got to be where they are. You know, so it's great that we start with black providers, but most importantly, we gotta be Muhammads, you know, in order to help our people. Because like I said, it's the construct that's hurting us. You know, down to basic stuff. You go into the hospital, the number one protocol is you're going to get a heparin injection every day, sometimes twice a day, sometimes three times a day.
What's that?
Heparin. Heparin is a blood thinner. And I'm just using this as an example for any adult. You're in the hospital. You went there because you had projectile vomiting, and now you're dehydrated. And now you're going to be there for 2 days for some fluids. One of their prophylaxis is that they got to give you heparin while you're laying in that bed. Heparin is a pork-based shot. So everything there is, just as an example, it's a black woman that administrated that shot. But everything is in contrary to, you know, who we are. I just want us to really realize that. And I know I hear a lot of my family go, oh, there goes this Tamara again. You know, she in the healthcare world. Talks bad about the healthcare world. You know, she making money for the healthcare world, but she talks so bad about it. I'm going to say this. The only thing that they have totally astonished me over is surgery. This healthcare system knows how to do surgery. Then I remember once again with the mindset of Muhammad and what we've been taught, these are people of war. They've been in war since they've been in existence. So, of course, they know how to do surgery.
Wow. That's
of
deep.
Course they know how to patch us up, take something out, throw something in. They're very experimental. But as far as preventing your illnesses and treating your illnesses and being prophylactic or whatever, trying to help you, no. But, yeah, you know, you need a surgery. You need to go find the best surgeon. They're going to do you right.
We got another brother on, but I just got to comment what you just said. That was so crazy. That's so deep. In other words, they be cutting each other open for so long.
Yeah, they know.
They know what's in there. We just try to keep it together. You know what I'm talking about? We working from the outside, right?
Right. They've been cutting us open for so long.
Wow.
They know us too.
Wow. Oh, wow. We can go on and on, but we got another person on. Brother Hoyle, you have a question? Brother Hoyle, you have a question, a comment?
Assalamu alaikum, family. Assalamu alaikum, Sama and Dr. Ridgely. Excellent show. You're right. They've been cutting us, experimenting, and taking the organs out and all kinds of stuff. You know,
I just want to tell y'all a story. I was helping a long time ago. I used to help my cousin. His father-in-law had a funeral home, and this was back like late 80s, 90s, and I was working a job. I just got out playing college ball and stuff just to make a little extra money. So one of the managers said, you know, they take the organs out of body, you know, when they come back from autopsy. And I'm like, what? And they sometimes they do it without the family consent, you know. So I had to see it for myself. He showed me, and especially the younger black people, you know. So we know that organ harvesting is real, you know. But this is a great show, you know, exposing the, you know, the vaccine damages, you know. Most of these stars and athletes, let's see, Irene Cara, it was a tweet out with Lisa Marie Presley just taking the vaccine. And they're not going to, you know, they're going to try to hide all of that, you know. And I wanted to say this, you know, this was in the paper, but this Robert Kennedy said it was 45 deaths, 5,000, more than 5,000 adverse events, over a million reports of adverse events and of COVID-19 damages of the COVID vaccine. And also Robert Malone, I think you mentioned that, Dr. Ridgely, even spoke out against it, and he's the curator of that mRNA vaccine. So I like Sister Tamara's testimony on the, you know, the man, you know, when she was talking about when she was going to college and they were refusing to let her in, you know. I deliver hospital equipment, and the same thing, you know, I was telling them I'm not vaccinated, so I had to wait out front and, you know, to deliver, you know. Sometimes I might have organ CT machines and stuff like that, and they would used to let me, you know, make me wait out front and whatnot. But now, you know, since the mandates are lifted, you know, I do what I need to do. But it's come out. Most of the, I'm going to say this and I'm going to let you go, most of the white hospitals I go to, the majority of the white nurses and doctors didn't take the vaccine, especially in the rural areas. And because when I get to the populated cities, you know, that's where, especially the black cities, that's where most of the hospital personnel, you know, are taking the vaccine. But a lot of the, you know, believe it or not, a lot of the white people didn't take the vaccine, you know, especially like in your rural areas. So beautiful show, Sister Mara. Keep up, and I'm enjoying the show. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much, Brother Hoyle.
Yes, thank you, Brother Hoyle, for coming.
You want to comment?
No. Not at all. Oh, I want to go back to it. I think it's important to put us in the mindset of our healthcare providers, give you that up and close personal encounter with them. So when I say Islam is excellent, and it's important for us to go out there and get degrees that matter. You know, no one's trying to send you to school for a fashion design degree. Okay, but it's important for us to go out there and get those degrees. And one of them is that the research is out there that you do have better outcomes when you have a provider that looks like you. And I know for the most part, as long as I've been a nurse, I always get Spanish-speaking family that ask for Spanish-speaking nurses and doctors. Even when we see Muslim women coming to the hospital, and this is another thing for us as believers, I carry the Muhammad name. There's so much power, you know, in that name.
Come on.
And we wonder why we don't experience the outcomes that we need to have. Part of it is because you're still Smith. Because there is a lot of Muslim providers, healthcare providers throughout America. And they're very proactive at helping other Muslims. I had to get some lab work done. I had to get some lab work done just recently, you know, for a physical. And the brother that was doing my lab, he was like, Assalamu alaikum, wa tu alaikum barakatuh, just off the name. you know.
Come on.
And, I mean, he took good care of me, you know. I was like, you know, brother, can you give me some water? He took very good care of me, you know. but as a nurse, that has also been my experience, you know. Muslim women who come to the hospital, they ask for other Muslim women providers. And 9 out of 10, they don't have to. 9 out of 10, they don't have to. You look at the chart, you see the name, and now all of a sudden they on rounds with that, with them. So, I mean, that goes back to we have a lot of nurses in our families today. Go ask your nurse, your cousin nurse, auntie nurse, mama nurse, how many Muslims they have taken care of in the hospital. They probably say none, because that's how much they take care of themselves.
Wow.
There's a whole protocol that goes with them. You can't even take trays in their room because that tray may have pork on it.
Wow.
So I just want to encourage us in the Muslim world, carrying that name and what that means. So we're going to these hospitals and we're having babies. And you don't even know who your provider is going to be. But if you had that last name, you will know who your provider is going to be. A Muslim woman. I just want to encourage that. But that's another thing up and personal. And then I want to go back to that talk, to encourage us how this construct is totally against us, this whole framework, this whole paradigm of their healthcare system, why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says he would spend his life work tearing it down. Okay. This is more of the language that nurses use again. I work a lot with what we call CRNAs. These are people who intubate you when you go to surgery. They put the tube down your throat, put you to sleep. And when they put a black male to sleep, they'll say, everybody stand, when they get ready to wake him up, they say, everybody stand back. And they like to use a negative word like aggressive. He's going to get aggressive. He's going to come out swinging and fighting. And this could be a very frail, sick black man. Going to come out of that intubation. The moment they put in the reversal drug, that black man pops up, ready to roll. They call it aggression. I say you couldn't kill the god. That's what I call it. That ain't aggression.
Yeah, I am.
It just wasn't enough drugs for you to put them down. I can't help it that your folks need the recovery room and a warmer and more oxygen. And I can't help that. So you say they woke up calmly. No, they woke up half dead. What you talking about? You know? So... So I just want to empower us to say, like, you know, I know we all sit out there and we say we all bleed the same, we the same, you know, and color don't matter. You know, even God is all colors, even though you haven't seen an all-color person in your life. But I'm just saying, like, we're not. Even in the healthcare world, we have recognized differences. Even in that language that I just said to you, he's going to wake up, they call it with aggression. That ain't aggression, not in my book. But that black man going to wake up, put his reversal drug in, he don't need no oxygen, he don't need nothing, he waking up. If he ain't gave up, he up. He up. On the other hand, he going to need a lot of support. And everybody knows this. So you get more hands on when it's somebody else, you get more. Let me put it to you like this. When it's a black man waking up reversal drug, they're asking everybody to stand back, because he's coming up swinging. Like you tried to put me down. Whereas other people, you're asking for more hands on deck, because you don't know if you have to put two back down. I mean, I just want to give you an up and close personal what happens, like, in your healthcare world. So I just want folks to know everything there ain't for you, especially if I didn't say anything tonight when it comes to midwifery. Stop getting the epidural. Stop.
Now, it's one of those.
You know,
one of those.
Epidural is a nerve block from the waist down. And when your anesthesiologist or your CRNA is even putting it in, until you don't move. It can paralyze you as they insert it.
Mm.
So that alone would scare me, but, you know.
Mm.
And it has to go, you know, it's a nerve block, so it goes right next to your spine.
Mm.
So you're not going to feel your contractions. You're not going to feel the pressure when the baby is pushing on that cervix to come out and your natural body response is helping you to push. You're not going to feel that. You're just going to labor. You're just going to delay the process. And our dear brother Daryl, if y'all didn't hear him, he said that he has a child that's on the spectrum, autism. I want you to think about that. So if your baby is not getting proper oxygen because you sedated your baby to the brain, yeah, I'm quite sure your baby can have all kinds of mentally delayed issues.
Mm.
Let's think about it.
Mm.
And I already said most moms who have that epidural, is their children that need more support once they're born. It is those newborns that need a lot of support. So this healthcare system passed a lot of things off as safe. Safe for who?
Mm. Wow. It seems like this healthcare system is the equalizer, meaning that we are superior until we come under their healthcare system, and then they bring us down to their level, and now they can compete. Mm.
Come on, so, I ain't think about it like that. That's why you Dr. Wiggly.
All praise due to Allah. But Sister Donna, she has a question in the comments. Sister Donna, you there?
As-salamu alaykum. Yes, I am. Thank you, first of all, for this beautifully profound and informative program tonight. So much I learned. I'm past the baby stage, but I've learned so much that it prepares me more for, inshallah, when I have grandchildren. But I have a question for you, Sister Tamara, and then I have something that I want to say, Brother Dr. Ridge. I know it's going to set you off because it has to do with food,
uh-oh,
but, you know, I'm going to say, sorry, no, it's going to set off a tangent. We'll go for that. So, Sister Tamara, as you may or may not know, Zuri did get accepted into nursing school. However, when he went to, well, when he went down for the first day of orientation and all that, we found out that for the clinical school is associated with is not taking religious exemptions. And as of 2023, they were requiring vaccinations without religious exemptions. Of course, unfortunately, he's on that hiatus too. But what I'd like to know from you, if you have heard or if you know, why it changed for just the students. Because, for instance, one of their clinical partners is St. Francis Hospital. Well, I know for a fact that St. Francis does not require all their nurses to have vaccinations. So employees don't have to have it, but they're requiring it of students coming in clinicals. Mm. Would you happen to know or have you heard anything about that? So that's my question for you, and then I'm going to say what I'm going to say for Dr. Ridgely, and then I'm going to go on mute so I can hear your response. Dr. Ridgely, this has to do with food. And something that I just want to kind of say publicly, but I know you're going to already jump on it, but and especially as we're acting wilder and wilder and without looking at the source of things of why we're acting this way, but if we go back and look at many, if we're eating any foods out of packages or boxes, if we go back and look, many of what may be your old favorites now says, has that little fine line at the bottom, contains bioengineered food. And I know there's somewhat of a difference between genetically modified and bioengineered. And it'll say a food additive. Well, it's just some tortilla chips. The only food part in there is corn. Is that, and so one, I'm inviting everybody, look back again at what you may have been eating, if it came out of a bag or a box, to see if there has been a change in what you are consuming. And then if you could just talk about that just briefly about the bioengineered versus genetically modified, if you can. Thank you all for taking my questions.
Okay. So tomorrow, you first. She asked you that.
Yes, sir. Assalamualaikum, Sister Donna. I had the privilege to be with Sister Donna. I haven't seen her lately because I've been traveling and so on. But so Brother Nuri, yes. Most schools are saying that, Sister Donna. My school said the same thing, that the clinicals that they're affiliated, the people they're affiliated with it, are not taking any vaccines. And like you've already done your own research and saw that St. Francis is not even a requirement. My advice is to keep pushing forward. That's their scare tactic right away. That's one of their defenses right away. You know, that's one of their barriers or hurdles right away to, like, deter us away. You know, so many of us would say, okay, fine, you know, goodbye then. It's a lie, because 2 weeks later, things can change. And that's exactly how it's been going through the whole COVID season. 1 minute, everybody's required to wear a mask. 3 weeks later, oh, no mask anymore. You know, 2 weeks or 4 weeks in, everybody has to have a second booster, otherwise you're not fully vaccinated. Oh, by the way, skip the vaccines altogether. That's how it's been going. So I'm not for sure where university is at. I know UT has a very strict policy right there at our hometown. UT is very, very strict. But that's going to take some really serious persistence. And they'll tell you they're not going to take a religious exemption. I've heard that too. That ain't true. I would say, as they would say, stand your ground. It's our hour. We will win. It's just that simple. It was promised. And we know the devil promised nothing but lies. So, stand your ground. Keep pushing, you know. But if you're early on in a program and that's how strict they are, look into other programs, you know, transfer your credits, you know. But just know, even when you get to that institution, they may become strict based off of if they accepted some funding. So it's really just, like I said, my university went from excellent to strict to now they're mad. They like, look, government, look what you just did. I think they gave the money back. They so proactive about things. So that's all.
Okay. And Sister Donna asked me the difference between genetically modified organisms and genetically engineered organisms. And, you know, my wife, she just stepped in and she said, you know, they're the same. You know, these are just, they're modifying the genome, the genes. They're messing with God's DNA. And they gotta hide it. They gotta use different terms. So once you catch up on, well, you don't want no GMO, you don't want no genetically modified organism, then they come with bioengineering. Now, the new executive order that came out September 12th by the President Biden, they talk about bioengineering and changing the genetics of living organisms and treating them like a computer chip. That they believe they can do that. So they call that, you know, genetic engineering, but then because they don't want to call it genetic modification. Engineering sounds better than modification, but it's the same thing. So it's just a trick of words. And what they're doing with all of this is trying to tamper with God's DNA of life on our planet. And they've fooled white people into believing that they can make them better. They know that they are weaker than us. They feel that they can make them better by doing genetic modifications, because they are genetic modified organisms themselves. And Yakub took them out of us, and now they are standalone as a weaker part of self for the whole world to see, including themselves. So, yes, we can talk a whole lecture on this genetically modified. Now, I just one little tidbit. You know, Gates, one of the proponents of genetic modification and also fake foods, he was a proponent of mRNA technologies and invested in it in its early stages. And once
they got people sick enough to have them to take a shot. He dumped his stock when Pfizer was at its top in 2021. He dropped, he sold 86% of his stock. He had over a million. So when it got to his top, he sold it. Then now what did he do with the money? Well, guess what? He's bought up a lot of farmland. And on that farmland, he's going to put up these manufacturing plants that's going to artificially grow and design and make food. And now you're hearing about famines. Well, he's going to make money on this too, because now they're going to produce famines so that you will now be forced to eat what they are manufacturing for you that tastes like food, looks like food, but it's not going to have any of the vitamins from the sun. Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that we get billions of vitamins from the sun. Well, they're going to produce this food without the sun. So what you are getting is an artificial substance that looks like, and once they doctor it up with some other enzymes and stuff, it will smell like and taste like food, but it will do nothing for you, which will make you have to go back to them to acquire some semblance of health. And you're right, Sister Donna, you get me going off. I'm just going to stop right there and just make it simple. They're the same darn thing. It's all a trick. Now, back to our guest. Remember, call in. Tamara, Tamara.
It's Tamara, sir.
Excuse me?
It's Tamara.
Tamara, okay. You have a chance to talk to Sister Tamara, and she ain't charging you a dime. So if you really have a serious question, here is the time to drop your dime and answer the question, because it won't cost you a dime. So I know that many other things that you can talk about with us, and I just want you to take this time to, you know, bring out some more things that we will not know, sister. I mean, we thank you for like going behind enemy lines, praise be to Allah, going behind enemy lines and observing with the eye of the open one. Like Minister Ava will open our eyes to so many things so you can see. So now you go into it with a different eye mind, a different set, to see differently what other people are looking at, and then bring back that information to let us know what's going on in those killing fields that they call hospitals. So whatever else you would like to bring to us, please do it at this time. Remember, y'all can call in and drop a dime. Go ahead, sister.
Yes. The other thing I wanted to say was you hear a lot of black women say that there are high-risk pregnancies. Every black woman is a high-risk pregnancy in their book.
Mm.
And just know that you're already on a track for diabetes or gestational diabetes. And let me show you what that looks like. So they have a rubrics or measurement that, you know, so if they say you black or any person of color, if you black and your BMI is past 25, that's your body mass index. That's how, you know, if you're a little overweight. So therefore, you know, you're black, you're a little overweight. Automatically that puts you on a track to receive the glucose test to see if you're a diabetic. I want to throw this out here because there's good research right now behind this. And know that in my midwifery school, everything I'm telling you, they're not advocates for. Midwifery is not an advocate for all these procedures or all of these, what did I call them, interventions they love doing, you know, when you come into the hospital. Yes. Do you see midwives with my degree working in the hospital? Absolutely. Yes, you do. We're right there at the hospital. That's the reason why I went farther to school, so that I could be the midwife in the hospital. But the moment you start asking for all those interventions, a lot of your midwives will step away. Not that they cannot do them. The only difference between a midwife and a physician or OB is that they can do C-sections and your midwife can only assist with your C-section. But that's it. but they do have an entirely different practice in a lot of ways. Now here's, I want to go back to that glucose test that everybody gets to test to see if they're diabetic. I want to give us a good picture real fast. So the one thing we know is that alcohol, an alcohol molecule and a sugar molecule can readily pass the placenta. It don't have to go through mama, be dissected, whatever, and go straight to the baby, basically. Go to the placenta and straight to the baby. So you, the only organ in your body that decreases blood sugars is the pancreas. So now you have this fetus inside you with an immature organ called the pancreas. That's the only thing that can lower blood sugar. So now you've taken, so you fast all day, all night, and you've taken now this highly sugary drink that's going to tax your body and now also tax the fetus, immature pancreas. I want to put us in a mindset of juvenile diabetes. Plenty of research that says that that is the cause of juvenile diabetes today. A test that they say you must have, which is the glucose test. I know there's a lot of moms out there saying, oh, I took that test. I took that test. It's almost like they play number games with us. I may not get all 50,000 of y'all children to be juvenile diabetes, but I'm going to get four. You know? Somebody's pancreas not gonna make it out, you know. It's like all these interventions and tests, it seems like that's what they're lined up for. So just want to put us in that mindset. So just know the moment you're black, your BMI is a little such and such. I'm a grandmother now, and I know my grandbaby's mother, when she was pregnant, she told me about the glucose test. She didn't take it. She was a completely young, healthy woman. What was she, 23 years old? She's not overweight, but she's black. So she was already on that track to say, oh, yeah, you're high risk. You got to have this test. This is a healthy bean soup eating black woman. But she got to have this test. No. So I just want to just do our research, family. Everything they bring to you, do your research. Do your research. Look it up.
Okay.
In fact, this is.
Go ahead.
I was going to say this is one of the hardest parts of being a healthcare provider. When it comes to us all together as a family, are all of the black family, this is the hardest part of being a health provider. You come to us and you say, I had a shot last week. I go, oh, you did? What shot you have? I don't know. He just gave it to me. How do you want us to help? I don't know how to help that. We have to ask, this person giving you a shot, you should ask them all those questions. Before they gave you the shot, you should have asked them all those questions. We really have that more than a white coat syndrome. You know, we have the white Jesus syndrome back our mind. What they do is right. I need not to ask no questions. You ask no questions. They just do whatever they want to do. That goes back to carrying that Muhammad name. Nobody's walking in your room and touching you and doing what they want to do. They already know you've been marked. Can't touch you. Matter of fact, I got to send a woman in there to touch you, to even talk to you. So I want to really think about that. So, but us, they come in there, pull the covers back, put their little scope on us, and ask no questions. Hi, I'm Dr. Such Such. They ain't even wash their hands. No gloves on, just touching. You know, just do what they want to do with their slaves. That's the hardest part about my job. That's the hardest part about my job. Me advocate for my people. Just bare decency, you know. Modesty, all of it. Just know that this is still precious cargo in here, you know. So, but yeah, treat yourself like that and ask those questions. Come prepared. Know what to ask your health care provider. You know, just because they recommend a test, what is that test? What's the purpose of that test? Why? What is it going to do? What are we going to do? You know, ask all of them, the whys. Continue the whys, the whys, the whys, the whys, the whys.
Well, we have another caller, but before we go to that caller, what you just said, you know, made me think of this. You know, even though this was a pestilence from heaven, what it is showing us is that we were already being healed.
Mm-hmm.
What is Roberta Flack, killing us softly? So we were already being healed, and we weren't asking any questions. But now that Satan has shown himself in such a way, there's evident now that he's a liar, he's a killer, and he's very dangerous. And now you better ask questions. So thank you, sister, for giving us back the God-given right to ask the devil a darn question. Excuse me, sir. I'm a human. I need to know something. Sir, respectfully, sir, this is my life. This is my body. I have a right to ask a question. And if I don't understand it, I have a right for you to explain it better and give me a dictionary so I can understand that big word you just said. Okay? I am a human. I have rights. So thank you so much.
That's right.
And we thank the callers. And at this time, we have a another caller. Sister Donna, would you put the next caller on, please?
Yes, we have Sister Brenda Muhammad.
Go ahead, Sister Brenda.
I want to tell you how much this has been so interesting to me, listening to it tomorrow. And thank you so much for agreeing to use your valuable time from your family and so forth to share with many in the listening audience. I wanted to ask a question about infant mortality and the disparities. I'm a part of a sorority, and most sororities have programs dealing with birth and dealing with young women who are expecting. And I've noticed that over the years, even though we partnered with the March of Dimes and all of that, the report card for such instances of death, infant mortality and all that has not changed. And I'm trying to figure out why. I don't know if those mortality rates are inflated. Or do you have any input or thoughts about what's going on that the infant mortality continues either to stay as it is or to rise? I did put down that you mentioned that to stop having epidurals, and I had one myself, so that was 49 years ago. But that's something I will make sure that I keep a note of, and that when we talk to expecting mothers that we discourage the epidural if at all possible. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for your question. Yes, I'm very happy you recognize the report card. We get worse. So apparently something that's going on in there is not working, and we need to definitely try something different. And I'll just say it as plain as being a student, you know, the Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan, just tell the truth. We have babies like white women to our death. We need to stop having babies like white women. It's just that simple. None of that stuff is for us. Just like Brother Dr. Wrigley just said, they are genetic modified themselves. All that stuff prolonged their lives. All that stuff is for them. White women can't bear the pain of labor. We can't bear the pain of labor.
Wow.
You know, I'll just tell it frankly. So when they say, "Oh, you gotta have this whooping cough shot," well, we know that they the one who carry around a cough they can't get rid of. You know, everyone you know cough, can't get rid of a cough, okay? But we know from history, they're the one who carry diseases. They bring it all over and kill off the indigenous. That's why the hog was made for them. 98% of their medication is driven in from cork.
Come on.
I want us to think about that, family. When you look up your high blood pressure medication, think of all kinds of artificial flavors, dyes, sweeteners, genetic modified, bioengineered food in it. Got all that in there because it's for them. It's not for us. Ain't none of, and we're taking it, and this beautiful specimen being a direct descendant of God, we fighting it and holding on in there, and they looking like they can't kill these niggas. They can't kill them. we taking it all like we live in. But then you'll hear a celebrity say, oh, I start intermittent fasting and I start exercising, I no longer have high blood pressure. But they've been on lisinopril, carvedilol, hydralazine for the last 20 years, but all of a sudden they spend 3 months doing intermittent fasting and working out, and now they cure it. This is what we hear. So they was killing us for these last 20 years. But when it comes to what I've noticed is that when it comes to moms, when I see these young black women come in there and they spit those babies out, you don't even got to suture them. They didn't have no tears. Nothing. Baby fine, baby hollering. But when we come in there and we whimpering, I can't take it. I can't do it. They got plenty of stuff for you to say you can't do it. That's not meant for us. None of it is meant for us. It's putting us down.
Oh.
I know there's moms out there right now where they've had an epidural, and your doctor come in and they give you your cervix exam and they go, your baby head is just bobbing around up there. It's one of those languages again, that medical word language. The baby head is just bobbing around up there. So now I got to take you in here and have a C-section. Black women is the highest rate C-section on the planet. Why? Why we got to be constantly cut? Because we want to have babies like white women. We want a shot. Give me the dilated. Give me the epidural. I can't take it. But your ancestors had 18 babies. There's nothing in history where white women had an 18, 22, 25 babies.
Come on.
Nothing. But all the way through history, I mean, through slavery, there's black women, you know the names they called us, 31 babies. 27 babies. How was they doing that? And everybody living on the worst diet ever. But they're alive. They're alive. Black women who have an epidural are also more likely to bleed out. I hear that story all the time. They left me on that table and I just bled. They told me I'm about to get some blood, or I got some blood, or I passed out. And you put a whole device in your spine, and and they had to yell at you to tell you when to push, that's something your body automatically knows how to do had you not had the epidural. So now you're not even working with your body. You're probably working against your body. So now you got this whole human coming out of you, separating, and it got to put this force on the cervix. Now that you're not probably in synchronizing here. So now you're bleeding. You hear these stories all the time. And the poor baby head, I hear black moms say this all the time. You got to reshape that head. You really didn't have to, honestly, had you had a great delivery. Ain't no shape in no head had you had a great delivery. Baby come out with all cone head because you was in labor for 24 hours. Because you had an epidural and you were working against your own body. Man, this has been a really sad process to me to watch. And I know from the medical world, as usual, I'm going to get a lot of pushback, but I don't care. They know the truth. See, the thing is, when you have a C-section, you already maxed out at $20,000. When you have a natural vaginal birth, that can be a low cost of $3,000, but going rate for midwives is $10,000, $6,000 to $10,000. But when you start adding all those interventions, and guess what? How many moms who are on government assistance get a labor and delivery bill in the mail? A lot of times they don't. Maybe $200, $400. This stuff is paid at full cost. A lot of times. Through the government. So your epidural, your morphine you got, your dilated you got, all that stuff you got. C-section, they're getting paid. Now your baby got to go to NICU. They're getting paid.
Well,
You messing up a lot of money, sister.
I know.
Hopefully,
that's all right.
We have a whole lot of y'all in our own facilities in the future. Because wow, this is blowing my mind. You know, I'm not gonna go out and have a baby because you make it look so good. All right, because I can't do that. But I never knew any of this, and I always thought that, you know, you see on the movies in terms of women really going through that, and I'm going, my God, why would a woman want to go through that? And now you tell me that they really don't have to go through all of that if they do it properly. That is interesting.
Yes, Allah placed the right hormones at the right time. It's labor for a reason. It's going to be painful. I don't know who keep lying to us, but it's going to be painful. But the moment you have the baby, it's like Allah takes it all away instantly. You want to see a happy mom? Give her baby. She don't feel nothing. Nothing at that point. Anything and everything can be going on. You can be down there suturing her. She ain't felt nothing. She got her baby in her arms. Allah put a natural hormone for that. And just like I said, if you don't get all those interventions, Allah put natural hormones in your body to push your baby. I saw a mom because she had epilepsy, so she had a seizure disorder, you know, and this is a very, very hard thing to do. But she was seizing, but her body was still pushing the baby out. Look at that. And she lived, y'all. She's alive. She's alive. And no, and when you have epilepsy, you don't qualify for all of those interventions. You know, because that could make make you seize out. It can make your epilepsy a lot worse. So she didn't have all of the interventions. So her body was going through the net. So this woman was seizing in the middle of a seizure, but her body was pushing the baby out. I want us to think about that. She lived, baby lived. We got control of her seizure, delivered baby. She still was post-ictal, me really, really confused and stuff after, you know, delivery and stuff, but alive, with baby, no problem. You don't even have epilepsy. And we still, our children come out either on the spectrum, something wrong with them, you know, mom hemorrhaging, lost too much blood, all behind what? Let's look at the common denominators. Because we don't want to endure labor.
We had another caller on, and they dropped off. So if they want to come back in, they can. Please do. And anybody else who wants to call, we have just a few more minutes left. But tell all your friends to go to the Elevated Places Blog Talk, to the archive. And this will be up on the archive at the end of the show. And text that out, email that out to people you know, because this has been one of the most enlightening conversations of information for me, who's supposed to be quote unquote the scientist, right? But this has been so enlightening. Mm-hmm. I just wish that everybody would send it out to their friends so they can take advantage of this. So they understand that indeed our teachings is 100% correct, and we're going to make God, and we're making them right in front of the world's face, and we need to take advantage of one of our scientists when they have gone behind enemy lines and brought us the truth and given us a better way. It's one thing Minister Farrakhan said in July 4th, 2020. We have to have our own scientists to show us a better way, not only fighting COVID, but actually surviving and living in the land, in the universe, on the planet that God made for himself to reproduce himself, and we would go through the process of growing up to be like himself. And so he made everything that we need to survive in the world that he made for us. We just have to listen, study, and obey once we know the truth. And everything is here for us, so maybe we can get back to that time that we can live 1,000 years or more. So I'd like to say, again, please tell your friends and family, send the link that you need to listen to this if you live on the planet Earth and you want to live a longer life and not be tricked
by the open enemy. And now we got proof that he's tricked us. He's an open enemy. But we have enough wise people amongst us that if you would listen to them, you can get out of this trick and the next trick that they're going to bring forth. So at this time, I want to give Sister Tamara an opportunity to say whatever you want to say in closing and your experience. So go ahead, Sister.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Dr. Lilly. Like I said before, what an honor, a privilege. I'm so pleased to meet you over phone. And inshallah, see you on Savior's Day. It would be nice. Inshallah. Yes. I just wanted to bring us all back to the COVID-19 PCR test, companion weapon to the vaccine in the era of biological warfare against the original people, written by our beloved sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, student national spokesperson for the Honorable Nicholas Farrakhan, a star of God, as we know now.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I want us to really read over that, because the one thing that I was so happy she wrote this. Like I said before, I felt how I ended up on her program as I'm back for the second time now. How I ended up on her program is because this article vindicated me, because I literally spoke out for over since the test came out, like don't do this. Like, we don't even get tested as healthcare providers. Like, why, you know, here I am at the bedside of COVID and never had a test. No one even asked me to have a test, and I can work sick. So where is the hypocrisy in this, family? We got to look at this, especially in the era of depopulation. We're in that time where that's the agenda. So, but going to her her article, even our sister has now also been vindicated, because now even the government has come out to say that this so-called PCR test is a carcinogen. The Q-tip itself is laced with ethylene oxide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew that as a healthcare provider because the Trump supporters were passing that around early on at work. So I knew that, you know. But I wanted to point something out to us, family. That PCR test is still on the shelf. It's in the candy aisle, right? When you walk in, you see it. It's the first thing you see is, you know, when I say candy aisle, you know how they put all the candy on the way out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or the first thing you see when you come into a store, you know, a good marketing technique. Why we got to market a test like this? Why is this the only infectious disease test at Target?
Mm.
What is the COVID test doing at Walmart, Sam's Club?
Mm.
Why? Okay, if that's the case, how come your flu test not there?
Mm.
How come your HIV test is not there?
Mm.
Why is it in our neighborhoods you can't get down a half a block without seeing a billboard or a COVID testing site?
Mm.
I want us to look at that. But just know your very own healthcare providers that work with COVID was never asked to have a test. I've never been tested, ever, still to this day.
Mm.
But my community is bombarded with the billboards, this is as bad as the COVID vaccine. If the COVID test campaign is probably even worse than the COVID vaccine campaign. Look at it. Especially get your test now. Because the reason why I say that too is because they're going to send you free tests to your home. You can get 4, you can get 8. So revisit that article. Dr. Sister Ava laid it out for us in that article. This article was written almost 2 years ago.
Mm.
And
so, you know, unfortunately, it takes 2 years, you know, to vindicate the naysayers. Vindicated against the naysayers. In other words, they jumped on Minister Ava
for telling the truth. And now they got a bad witness that she told the truth. So
yes, sir.
We have to stand up for what we know is true, regardless of whom or what. And if somebody comes along that says that we may have been in an error or made a mistake, then we accept that when we find out that we made a mistake, and we correct that. But once you, until you've shown otherwise, if you see something that you need to tell people about, you need to study it and tell people about it, because the enemy's game is for him to have the first and the last word, to control your mind, to control your behind, actually get you to do something that you thought was in your benefit, but actually it was not in your benefit. And so we thank Minister Ava for having that the God-given God in her to stand up for truth, to bear witness to Minister Farrakhan, and to point out these deadly weapons going on here. And then, of course, you're giving them your DNA. Once you do that, you're giving them your DNA. So now they can put that on the shelf, and they got you and waiting later on to pay our scientists who are working for them now how to use that DNA against us. So they are getting materials that they can use now to determine how can they get at us. What can they do to get through our God-given immune defense system to get into us, to take us over and or kill us off? Because, like Brzezinski said, it is a lot easier now to control 1 million people. So now they're in the all-out killing mode. But we've caught them, thanks to Minister Farrakhan, Sister Minister Ava, and others of the research team, and our good doctors like Dr. Sevilla Shabazz and Dr. Darnita Muhammad, who have been working in the field to protect our people against this onslaught. And now they can be vindicated. But now, sister, like you said, they need to pay some money. They need to pay you the money. They need to pay the people the money who are suffering from this shot. Thailand, they're talking about, leadership in Thailand is talking about making Pfizer pay them back the money that they got under false pretenses. And they will use this money to pay the people who've been ill affected by the shot. So it is time now to go for this system to stand up for its people and go against the people who are poisoning the people and get them people to pay for the recovery of those people and to make available to the people those remedies, TQ, hydroxychloroquine, and I'm talking about ivermectin. They knew about this even before they put out the SARS-CoV-2 virus and even before they put out the vaccines, that these two drugs, which both of them come originally from natural products, these two drugs can kill that stuff immediately. They knew that. And this is why they talk so much against that. So we now must stand up and demand that we do the right thing and that we make them do the right thing in terms of y'all need to give the faith to people to be healed, and you need to allow the people to get that which you know will heal them. You know this. That should be available to us. As a matter of fact, you need to build instead of vaccine plants, you need to build manufacturing plants and give it to the black man and woman in America so we can produce the drugs to save our lives and the lives of the rest of the people in this country. We need to start asking for we want real reparations. We want some manufacturing plants to produce what we need to produce. We need some land to put it on. And to, I understand you also know a little bit about farming, sister. I didn't get into that at all. But we got to grow our own food, process it, distribute it. Now, this is what you white folks want to help black folks. Just do this. So we don't need you trying to teach us how to live your lifestyle, because that lifestyle is proven now to be death even for you. So, sister, we got another minute. Close us out with the last word.
Wow, that's a lot of pressure.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. That's what we do.
Yes. Yes, sir. Just want to thank everybody for listening. I'm so grateful for being back. I'm so grateful for being part of our dear sister's legacy and keeping her work going. I'm honored to share space and time with you, Dr. Wigley. I love you, Sister Donna. I love you, Sister Charlene. And I just want to say, family, I know a very scary time, and I know you might say, well, if we can't have the test, what should we do? Hold true to what even your healthcare providers do and how they recognize with COVID. COVID is going to be unlike anything you've ever experienced. The flu makes you feel like you're dying, but COVID is going to exacerbate something in you. You know, if you have hepatitis C, maybe your clotting factors are off. Maybe your labs were once stable, but now they're unstable. So something unusual is going to happen in you. This is the time that we must be good advocates and know our bodies very, very well and ask the question, why and why and why and why.
Thank you so much, Sister Tamara. And don't forget, y'all, go to MinisterAva.com, MinisterAva.com, to continue to study so you can grow yourself into becoming a God. Thank you very much. May Allah bless all of you all. As-salamu alaykum, and happy Savior's Day.